Hey, what's up? This is your homegirl, Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self-Love is My Rehab, where we are all tired of abuse being our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, DC, on the line so we can get into the show, but you already know we got another special topic, so tune in and love yourself. Yo, yo, DC, what's going on?
Hey, mic check 1 2 1 2. Are we in the building today? What's really good?
Listen, it's been a hectic day. That's all I'm gonna say. And I just know next time when I go on vacation, this has to be put on break.
I feel that. You know what I'm saying? Because you know we get wrapped up into the good times of, you know, just being on vacation and not having to do any type of work at all, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, trying to do this in the midst of your vacation, I can see that, you know, it can throw you for a loop a little bit, but.
Let's just say I had hiccups before the show, but then they gone after what just happened. What just happened? Yo. Anyway, what's the vibe of the week? What's the vibe of the week, DC?
Man. I'm going to just put it to you this way. To all of my people out there that are shopping in a panic manner due to this little bug we call a coronavirus, I just want to give one message to y'all. I'm sick of y'all shit. I can't stand y'all. And I'm being real. You know what I'm saying? This ain't really too much of a good or bad vibe. This is just a common sense wake the fuck up type of vibe. Like, y'all sit up there and y'all act like it's true Armageddon in this bitch. Like, I get that y'all trying to stock up on some food. I get it. But goddamn, I have never seen more than one, not even just one, honestly. I have not seen not one damn store before in my entire life that is, like, wiped out of bread, wiped out of protein, wiped out of everything but, like, snacks, vitamins, and baby clothes. Like, what the hell? Like, why are y'all stressing about this shit that much? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the part that freaks everybody out, is that, you know what I'm saying, like, how people react to this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that shit irks my soul. Like, you know how many fucking stores I went to trying to find some hand sanitizer and can't find out one goddamn little bottle of hand sanitizer? I went to the lengths of searching to see if, like, I could find something in the store. And, like, when I typed in hand sanitizer and it popped up, and you know how, like, when you go on Google and it'll show you, like, whatever product you type in, you know what I'm saying? It'll give you prices based on the place that it's located at. Man, I went on eBay. I mean, I clicked on it and I seen eBay. Somebody selling it, like, a little, like, traveling bottle of hand sanitizer for $100.
Man, speaking of that, it's a little kid that got suspended for charging kids to get a squirt of hand sanitizer, you know, but.
And I advise them to let that nigga be great, because he is showing some entrepreneurship. He is getting money out here. He figured out a game plan, and he say, look, one squirt for $1. You know what I'm saying? But it's crazy, though. Like, I mean, I get everybody's fear, but it's like we've had multiple, you know, epidemics, you know, quote unquote, you know what I'm saying, of these diseases and or events that had occurred and was supposed to occur, and this is the most I've seen people freak out. You know what I'm saying? And this is crazy, but.
Well, you already know my standpoint on it, so I'm not going to speak on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's my little vibe of the week. I didn't want to, you know, we hear too much about it via, you know, TV or social media as is, you know what I'm saying? But that was the vibe of the week. This shit basically happened this week, so I just had to get that out verbally, because it bothers me on how, you know, people just reacting right now.
No, I definitely get it, because speaking of all of this, you know, social media frenzy about it and, like, schools closing down, it actually ended my vacation short in Michigan, because we were supposed to have Self-Love is My Rehab episode in Detroit because I was supposed to be there till Tuesday, but I just switched my flight to today because I don't know if they're going to quarantine next week and I can't be stranded, you know. So I had to get back home, but it is what it is. On last week's episode, we ended season one with self-reflection, where me and DC just basically interviewed each other. DC asked some very uncomfortable questions, didn't give me no apple juice, no crackers, you know what I'm saying? Just said, take that, take these two pills of reality and swallow. And but I think I did good.
I agree.
So, yeah.
For sure.
But,
for sure.
Let's see. DC, tell me what Shut Me the Fuck Up topic is this week.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, today's Shut Me the Fuck Up topic is about entitlement issues.
Yep.
Now, we all come across. You're
too strong.
God damn it. Yes, we are. Now, we all came across, you know, situations where, you know, people may have, you know, come across, you know, being too entitled with shit. Now, some people can feel entitled due to their own inner anger and just pure jealousy of someone else, you know what I'm saying, to, you know, lack thereof. Enlightened people, you know what I'm saying, they enjoy seeing a person suffer or fail, you know what I'm saying, and then turn around and rationalize that the person deserves this kind of treatment, you know what I'm saying. And I feel like it's just, it's kind of stupid in a sense, you know what I'm saying? But it, the sense of entitlement, you know what I'm saying? It can vary in various scenarios, you know what I'm saying? Like, it can stem from, you know, childhood, you know, upbringings and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? So it varies a lot, you know what I'm saying? It can even, you know, it can show signs in, you know, relationships, whether that's boyfriend, girlfriend, or, you know, family or friends or whatnot. So, Complex, I'm gonna let you tackle it first. What sense of entitlement have you came across? Because I mean, like I said, we in a sense we see it a lot, but you know what I'm saying? Like, where was it most effective to you?
Well, I'm gonna be very honest with you. The first time I really heard the word entitlement, I was actually in college. I never heard that. I mean, I've heard, like, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, but entitlement,
right,
like, it's the same thing, but, like, I never really cared for the definition of it until I was in college at my internship, where I told you that I used to facilitate men who were abusive. And they used to always have to go around talking about their entitlement issues and everything. And that's when I realized, like, oh, you know what I'm saying? This is, you know, control. And I realized that I had a lot of people in my life that were very, that felt very entitled. Like, you know, they felt like, I'll give you an example. Say if someone from our family would go out of state, move out of state, and they come back to visit. But, you know, it's like a low-key one. Like, they're just in town for, like, you know, a business trip or, like, you know, just to see someone that, you know, that they're checking up on. People in my family would feel some type of way because they didn't reach out to see them. So they felt like, you owe me that right. You know what I'm saying? You owe me that right. And
right.
I don't know. It's like I played, how can I put it? That made me, like, you know what I'm saying, feel guilty all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, people use a lot of entitlement in my family to get their way. And I played into it. I fell into it a lot. But I will say that I had entitlement issues. I have entitlement issues that I'm still trying to work on. Yes. I'm still trying to work on them. I'm realizing that whenever, you know, someone say they're going to call me, and I know we're in an age where we like, I'm going to call you back, but we never do. But I be feeling like, well, damn, why you didn't call me today? Or if one of my friends is going through something, I will think that it's me, like I'm the problem. Not realizing that everybody goes through stuff and everybody has the right to take a break from just talking to people in the outside world. They have, you know, this is their time to feel like this is their time to basically isolate from the world and just really reevaluate within themselves. But I would always take it personal, like it's me. You know what I'm saying? I hope that's where I'm. I think that's not the right example, but I feel like it's entitlement because I will make stuff about me. Like, oh well, why aren't you talking right now? Did I do something to you? I don't know.
Right, right. No, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, you feel in a sense entitled to, you know, because you feel deserving of conversation from these people. You know what I'm saying? In a sense on a daily basis kind of thing. And then when it doesn't happen, you know, because I remember you said it before, like, you know, like if somebody doesn't answer the phone, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You feel worried, you know, you feel like something's wrong. And you know what I'm saying? And in the case, that's not it. You know what I'm saying? Like most people can't, you know, do like an everyday, you know, conversing on the phone or, you know what I'm saying, just being, you know, in contact on a daily basis. You know, sometimes they need like that.
Exactly.
You know, that entitled space, you know what I'm saying? Because most people can. Most people can talk, you know what I'm saying, on a day-to-day basis and stuff like that. And, you know what I'm saying, they can, you know, it can feel like they haven't talked in 2 days kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? And then it'd be most people would be like, God, damn, I just talked to you like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We ain't got shit to talk about today. You know what I'm saying? Because we didn't talk all day yesterday. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, that's how some people feel. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I think in your case, like, you know, it's an endless opportunity to you when it comes to, you know, being able to talk to someone every single day. You know what I'm saying? Which is cool. Ain't nothing wrong with it. You know what I'm saying? But it's all about how you react towards it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you come off aggressive, you know, feeling like, well, damn, why the fuck they can't answer their phone today? You know what I'm saying? Like, something wrong with you or something. Like, nah, ain't nothing wrong with me, dog. Like, I'm chilling. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's just the overreaction of, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, like, I talked to you yesterday, but I ain't talked to you today. Like, what the fuck is the problem? You know what I'm saying? So I think that's just self-beating yourself up about it when that's not even the situation at all.
Yeah, okay, because that's why I'm like, I don't know if I'm going in the right direction with this because I don't want to control my friends or my family, like, oh, you better call me or nothing like that. But
I
used to, from what I picked up from my family, I used to feel like that. Like, okay, like, I'll give you an example. I have a cousin that I grew up with, you know what I'm saying? We're 6 years apart. He's more like a brother to me. And, you know, now that we're getting older and everything like that, you know, I be wanting to talk to him more and I be feeling some type of way, like, why don't you call and check up on me? We're not obligated to check up on anybody until we get ourselves together. And I had to realize, like, he's living life. You know, I had to think back to it. Like, remember when you was 24, you know what I'm saying? Like, you was hanging with your friends. You wasn't really, you know, you would come around the family, but you was just living your life. You was trying to find your way in this world, and that's what he's doing. So I had to take my personal feelings out of it. But let me ask you something, DC. How do you feel about entitlement issues from a parent standpoint when they feel like, or a person who raised you, where they feel like because they did something for you by giving you a roof over your head and, you know what I'm saying, all this, they can treat you any kind of way and expect for you to still love them because you're their parent. Or regardless, no, we'll make this a general topic, you know what I'm saying? For anybody who's done something nice for you, they feel entitled to your, like basically like they want to hold it over your head. Oh, because I did this for you, you do this, this, and that. What's your perspective on that? How do you feel about that?
A very good question. I can start off with the whole parent situation. Yeah, I mean, being a parent, you know what I'm saying, considering that I am one, I can get where the idea of wanting to be entitled to basically being the quote unquote owner of your child, but it's like, you know, our parents, I feel like they abuse the hell out of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like there's no expiration on that shit. You know what I'm saying? You could be 40 years old and there's certain shit that you can't do around your parent because they the parent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that's BS. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would still pay my respects to, you know what I'm saying, my parents or my parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I get all that. The respect and shit, I get all that. But it's like, as the child becomes an adult, there has to be some sort of exception to something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole disrespect thing, I get that. Don't take it. I get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, don't ever fucking disrespect me type of thing. But it's like, I give you an example. I think it was like a couple weeks back or some shit like that. I was walking in the house, and just out of common courtesy, me and my mom, we were walking down the hallway. We were walking down the same hallway.
Right.
And I gave her common courtesy to at least, you know what I'm saying, adjust my body in a sense to where, like, we wouldn't, you know, bump shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And that motherfucker just held her head up proudly and just kept strutting down the damn hallway, shoulders bumping against both walls. And I'm like, God damn. Like, why you couldn't, like, adjust your body, too? Like, shit, I gave you the common courtesy to, you know what I'm saying, give you some sort of space to walk through. And this is like... But see, that's that mentality of, like, I'm the parent. I don't have to adjust my goddamn body. This is my hallway. I can walk as I fucking please in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's how not only just parents, but, you know what I'm saying, just people in general, when they feel like they are above you and you're beneath them, you know what I'm saying? They can act any type of way they want to act. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I wanted to bring up, like, another way of entitlement, you know what I'm saying? It's not always about, you know, how you may feel above someone, but it could be just from a dark past that you came from. You know what I'm saying? You might set some boundaries of some sort of entitlement because it's like, okay, I've been through this. I'm entitled to not go through this shit again. So I'm going to set some sort of, you know what I'm saying, expectations to where, like, you know, I won't take nobody talking back to me because I've had somebody, you know, down talk me so much to where it's like, you know what I'm saying, like, I just shut the fuck up, I didn't say anything, you know what I'm saying, like, that's like me, for example, you know what I'm saying, like, I've always allowed people to pick on me, you know what I'm saying, verbally talk to me any kind of way, or, you know what I'm saying, like, when I gained a voice to try to have a, you know what I'm saying, a conversation with my mom, you know what I'm saying, it was always shut your ass up. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I shut the fuck up. But when I go into my room, I talk all kinds of shit. You know what I'm saying? But that wasn't directly at them. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, the older I got and when I would get into, you know, sort of arguments in my relationships or even with friends, you know what I'm saying, I wouldn't back down. And it was like, I didn't give a fuck if I was wrong or not. You know what I'm saying? Because I felt entitled to be able to argue because I was never able to do it before. And I knew how fucked up it made me feel to not be able to speak. You know what I'm saying? To have my own voice to talk. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like entitlement can go that way too.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different ways to look at this topic. I would say, like, for parents, I think because they live by that whole a child is only seen and not heard, and we're definitely going to get into that topic soon about what that looks like for a child growing up. But I think that because they just look like, oh, you're only seen and not heard, that's why you don't realize when that child is older, you still see them as your little baby. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, like when your child gets older and they get their own place, you know what I'm saying? Because you know what parents say, well, you're under my house. You're going to live by my rules. So when you get your own shit, you can do what you want. But when you do get your own shit, they come over there. Why you got this like this? And why you, whose house is it? You get what I'm saying? Like,
oh,
whose
my
house
God.
Is it? You know? And it's like, they don't see you as an adult. You know what I'm saying? Because they never gave you a chance to express yourself as a person. You get what I'm saying? So
right.
I think for us, you know what I'm saying, like once you get to become an adult, because you get tired of being controlled and you can't wait to get to your own place and everything like that. You know, I know for me, I've been in apartments before where I've had friends come over, and I started to understand my grandmother who raised me, in a sense. I started to understand, like, when she's tired, don't bring company over and you didn't ask me. You know what I'm saying? I remember one time, right, I had somebody come over to my apartment, and she was on the phone with another one of our mutual friends. And all of a sudden, like, you know, she just invited her over. Excuse me, sweetie, I didn't even want you to come over. I was just trying to be nice, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I felt entitled right then and there. Like, you know what, this is my house, get out. And I try not to I try not to be like that, but I think that, how can I put it? I think when it comes to, like, when you work hard for something, you want everybody around you to appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense. But I think that people get addicted to controlling sometimes. Like you can get addicted to controlling somebody. Like, you know, I feel like I'm all over the place with this, but when I used to live, I was in a 3-year relationship, and we lived together. Oh my God. It was so many, like, I used to feel, like I said, I had entitlement issues. I used to feel some type of way. We lived together, but every weekend he would want to go to be with his brother. And I'm like, okay, so you're not going to come and hang out with me? Okay, it's cool. And then, you know, I will be expecting him to come home at a certain time. That time would pass. Oh, okay, so now you're not coming home, and I will call. He wouldn't answer. So I would be, like, petty and lock the screen door. I'm just being honest. I was very toxic. I felt, no, but I'm just being real honest, like, because at one point, like, his lease had ended, and he ended up moving in with me. And I felt like, because, like, when you don't do what I want, I'm going to, you know what I'm saying, like, I'm going to do this to get my way. So there was times where I would sit up there and say, well, do we need to, there was times I would sit up there and say, well, do we need to get a U-Haul? And, you know, like, I don't want to admit that. But I felt like that. I felt like I'm deserving of your love and affection whenever I want it. And if you don't do it, this is going to happen. And that shit ain't cool. It's not cool. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I basically had to change that. You know what I'm saying? It's not cool. But when you get controlled, you know what I'm saying, by your parents or whoever you was raised by and everything like that, you basically get to a point where you start to pick up that behavior too.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I think what you said, as far as, like, that term deserved, you know what I'm saying? I think that's one of the key things of, you know what I'm saying, what makes people feel so entitled, because they feel like they deserve, you know what I'm saying, this, that, and the third, regardless of, you know, how they treat someone, you know what I'm saying, as long as they get what they deserve, you know what I'm saying, what they feel they deserve, you know what I'm saying, because, like, going back on, like, you know, what you said about, you know, how parents always look at you as a child, I feel like, should they look at you as an adult when it comes to your responsibility? You know what I'm saying? Or what they try to take care of your ass. Like, let's be clear. Like, low-key, like, when I had first got my car or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, my mom was basically, you know, helping me pay my car note and stuff. And it was crazy because it was one day. Because I got accustomed to, you know, basically just not having that as part of my bills. You know what I'm saying? So at that time, you know what I'm saying? I had got my first car when I was like 20 or 19 or 20. It was one of those. You know what I'm saying? So I was just accustomed of just, you know, just paying for my phone bill and gas money and everything else I wanted to fucking buy. I ain't have a fucking car note on my list of bills or, you know what I'm saying, like, essentials to pay for. And then it was just like, I guess it was just one day where she was just like, fucking fed the fuck up. She was like, you gonna start paying for this motherfucker car though. You better act like an adult. Like, oh, okay, I'm gonna keep that same energy. So, like, now I'm acknowledged as an adult. Okay, So, you know what I'm saying, when it's time for us to talk, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, if I feel something ain't right, you know what I'm saying, keep that same energy. I'm an adult now, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can be able to approach you about some things, and you can't shut me down, you know what I'm saying, just because, you know, you are, quote, unquote, the parent. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they have to stop that shit. Like, I know, honestly, like, as my daughter get old, I'm not going to throw that whole entitlement thing in her face like that, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I feel like it's wrong.
Yeah. Because, like, I didn't want to cut you off, but I was just going to say that you can't feel like you're entitled to your child's life, or your child is entitled to pay you back for you. Not trying to be vulgar when I say this, but it's no other way to say it. You cannot make your child feel guilty for you spreading your legs and letting somebody plant a seed inside of you and having, you know what I'm saying? Like, this child did not ask to be brought here. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And, like, you know, like you were saying about how your daughter's not going to grow up to, you know what I'm saying, feel that. I really feel like, oh, damn, I lost my train of thought. I'm going to bring it back. I really feel like parents, no, because I'm just saying, like, you know, it just irks me. It was a meme that I found. It was a meme that came up about how, who made this rule that kids have to be out of their parents' house by 18. And that's where we fell at. You kick your kid out at 18. They don't have the proper resources, you know what I'm saying, to live on their own. They don't know what it's like to pay rent. They don't know anything about it if you're not educating them on it. Because, okay, let's be honest, we've had child development classes. We've had home economic classes. But as teenagers, did we really pay attention? Sometimes we would skip in to go kiss somebody up. You get what I'm saying? So you have to have that talk with your kids. Like, man, I remember one time, like, we had this child development class, but it was like also like teaching you how to be like married to someone, how to pay bills and stuff. It's not funny, but we was back in seventh grade and the parents, we was all 12 years old, but I asked my friend, I said, how is your project coming along? I'm like, what role are you playing? She was like, I'm the child, but my parents got me doing all the bills because we weren't paying attention. They got me doing all the bills because they wasn't paying attention in class. But it's like, we weren't paying attention. That's, I'm sorry. It's not funny, but that's how it is in real life, though. You have some parents that put stuff in their child's name, mess up their credit and everything like that. And then as soon as they get 18, well, get your ass out my house. What do you mean? And then you look up and wonder why they're back at your house, you know what I'm saying, in their late 20s and early 30s, because you were just so ready to get them out. Because I feel like, excuse me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it's because, you know what I'm saying, you had a child and you thought it was going to be peaches and cream, but then it wasn't what you wanted. So it's like you just waiting for the countdown just to get them out your house. And that's not cool.
Right.
It's not cool.
Yeah, because I feel like with most parents, you know what I'm saying, like, they look at, you know, especially when they're younger and when they're still eligible for a tax credit, that's all they look at them as. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be blunt about it. You know what I'm saying? That's why you see, you know what I'm saying, women out here with, you know, more than fucking 2-3 kids, you know what I'm saying? Because they get fucking tax credits for those kids, you know what I'm saying? That's $2,500 per kid off rip, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, but yeah,
but
like, you know, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to say, like, they want to sit up there and say you don't pay rent. Excuse me, that tax money that you get, that's from me. What you mean? Like,
right.
And
like,
I don't want
to
see,
able,
like,
you've been able to get that shit since I was born up until, shit, I don't even know when the cutoff for that is, when you can't claim them no more. But shit, from the time I was born up until the time you couldn't claim me no more. Like, where are that damn money?
I mean,
that's $2,500.
I think they can claim you up to 26, because I know you can be on your parents' health insurance till 26. But I mean, like, this episode is not to bash parents, but it had to be highlighted because we need to show people, like, if you're gonna have a kid, really think about it before you go through it. Like, really, you know what I'm saying? But, like, I know I wanted to touch on this from, like, my standpoint of entitlement issues, because I had it, but it was something that was picked up from it was picked up from people, the people who raised me. You know what I'm saying? But what's your stance?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
anything else you want to say?
Yeah, because I mean. Yeah, I was going to say, like, that's where it's just, honestly, that's where it's deeply rooted at, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's deeply
mm-hmm.
rooted, you know what I'm saying, coming from the household. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, a lot of the ways that we've, you know, pretty much picked up from was either, you know what I'm saying, within the household or the lack of, you know what I'm saying, like, the upbringing in the household, you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
Most people probably wasn't taught to be, you know what I'm saying, like a loner or, you know what I'm saying, don't be such a follower, you know what I'm saying, or have common sense when you come across this situation, you know what I'm saying? Like, not too many people were taught that. And those were critical things to,
mm-hmm.
to be able to learn in the household, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like,
yeah.
if you don't learn that, you get tossed out in the world just accepting everything, and then you won't know how bad it is until it affects you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you'll have, because shit, low-key, like, even certain kids now, like, I done seen certain kids, you know what I'm saying, that be sitting up there crying in the damn store because they can't have this, because they feel entitled on having it, because guess what, you probably spoiled the shit out of them and felt like you can
mm-hmm.
get anything and everything, and you don't show them no discipline on why they can't get it, you know what I'm saying, so they'll sit up there and throw a whole fucking tantrum. You know what I'm saying? They still ain't get the damn toy or whatever, but they still sitting up there crying and shit from the time you said no all the way from probably till you got them in the car and on the way home. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
And if you don't nip that shit in the bud, the older they get more aggressive when they can't get shit that they want because they feel entitled to that. You know what I'm saying? Because you didn't
mm-hmm.
break that cycle of them, you know, feeling too damn entitled about something.
Yeah, true.
You know what I'm saying? So,
you know, it's crazy that you brought that up. I'm going to say this before we segue. I was actually having a conversation with my homie, shout out Connect. We was talking about this the other day. You know, she finally read that book that I was telling y'all about, Fuck Him, Nice Girls Finish Single. And, you know, it was talking about in there, he was telling all the guy code, but it was talking about how guys will, you know, they won't call you for a couple of days because they're trying to see what type of woman you are. And, you know, after 3 days, if you were too busy to notice, that's what keeps the chase going, because they like, well, damn, what am I not doing to get her interest? Let me keep working towards it. But if they call 3 days and you like, well, where was you at? They know, like, this girl's going to make her whole life about me. And, you know, she, you know, asked me, like, in my new relationship, do I still, you know, focus on me? I say, yeah, absolutely. I have to. You get what I'm saying? And she asks how. And I said, well, don't get me wrong. In relationships, whenever you're in the honeymoon stage, you are going to, you know what I'm saying, always want to spend time with them. But, you know what I'm saying, still let them have their time. And I basically told her, like, when you get control, like, when you're in, like, a controlling relationship, where, you know, whether it's verbal, abusive, or anything like that, you learn how that feels, and you don't want to make another person feel like that. And I don't never want to make my boyfriend feel like that, because I was there before. So I'm going to let you have your guy time. Go have fun. You know what I'm saying? I have to be secure to know that you're not going to do this, this, or that. You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't even bother him when he's at work, because you're at work. It all comes down to, you got to look at that we're not 15 no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're grown.
Yeah.
We can't. Yeah. I can't expect for my man to text me or call me every hour on the hour, every minute on the minute. That's what it is. So, you know, I did work on my entitlement issues. I was 24 with that whole U-Haul situation. I'm 29 now. I get it now. But I did have entitlement issues about that. But it took for a controlling relationship to help me understand that's not cool at all.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
you know what I'm saying? Adjusting those entitlement issues, you know, sheds light on people around you as well. It really does.
Yes. Yes. Yep. That was a good topic, see. About to segue into the shout out and appreciation. We'll let you go first, DC.
Shout them out, big dog. You know what it is. Let me give my couple shout outs real quick. You know, I ain't shame. shout out to Dynamic Culture Apparel. Sorry for the delay on the announcements. We've been going through this little crazy little shindig we got going on this week, but that's all right. We're going to bounce back like cook crack. I'm going to have some announcements for y'all. Most likely, you know what? I'm not going to put a date on it because I done failed y'all once. I'm not going to do it again. Just be aware that I have some heat coming for that app. To remain updated on that, feel free to follow my Instagram page. That's dynamic_culture_apparel. And you can also follow me on Facebook, Dynamic Culture Apparel. And shout out to God. Continue to keep us, you know what I'm saying, wrapped around you through this situation that we're going through. You know what I'm saying? Not going to speak too much about it. But shout out to Positive Vibes. Shout out to you, Complex, for bringing me on. And shout out to Self Love Is My Rehab, dropping this second season. Boy, it's about to be lit, lit. And yeah, that's all I got.
Shout out to Self Love Is My Rehab. This is season 2, episode 1. I don't even know if I said that earlier, but we are definitely doing internal surgery this time around. You're going to hear some more uncomfortable things about me. I'm not afraid to tell my truth at all. Judge me if you want to, but I'm living in my true identity. What are you doing? Anyways, shout out to God. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, if I don't have a personal relationship with Him, I don't have a personal relationship with myself. Shout out to Detroit. It was really good coming out there. I got to see DC. I got to see my homie Kinette. I got to see, you know, some of my second family. But I will say that it felt very good to go home and not feel pressure to see everybody. I just basically made up in my mind that I'm not going to break my neck to see everyone who can't even think twice to pick up the phone and call me. And if that makes me feel, if that makes me sound selfish, I'm sorry. I have to do that to protect my peace of mind because I get anxiety with, oh, did I see this person? Did I see that person? So it just felt really good. It was very relaxing. I hate that it had to end shortly, but I still had a good time. So that's all I got.
Yeah, and with that, you're entitled to it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. But are you ready to get your mind stimulated, DC?
Oh, yeah. Stimulate your mind, Cream. Let's get it.
All right. I want you to be prepared for this, okay? So.
Oh, shit.
Who or what is a trigger for you right now in your life? And are you at a point of being able to face it?
Well, okay. Let's see, who or what is a trigger right now? I would say I am my trigger.
Okay.
I am definitely my trigger, and I say that because, you know, recovering from alcoholism, you know what I'm saying? Like, I am still my trigger, you know what I'm saying? Because I am still recovering. I am still bettering myself. Now, as far as, like, being a trigger within a trigger, I'm not. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I've really focused and pinpointed on, you know, just bettering myself. You know what I'm saying? And having to face myself won't be an issue at this point anymore, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, when I did face myself, you know what I'm saying, a couple years back, all I would do really is just, you know, degrade myself, you know what I'm saying? Beat myself up constantly about, you know, making those mistakes, you know what I'm saying? So the fact that I accepted what I did, you know what I'm saying, and what I had became at that time, you know what I'm saying? It was only right for me to just kind of really just change things around and not necessarily forget about it, But just, you know, remember what fueled the fire of wanting to get my shit together. You know what I'm saying? So I turned that mistake into a positive. You know what I'm saying? So whenever I feel like I am doing something good, I look back on that and be like, that's the reason why. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I stopped looking at it as such a major or minor setback, however you want to look at it. You know what I'm saying? It's your opinion. But I look at it, you know, as, you know, that's been my will to do better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To not be back in that position again of all the feelings I felt, you know what I'm saying? Or the thoughts that I could remember at the time because I was too wasted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's been a huge positive for me because without it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I probably would still be drinking today, and I probably wouldn't be as productive as I am right now. You know what I'm saying? I do have confidence to say that I would have eventually, but probably not as fast. You know what I'm saying? Because in the back of my mind, I still would have been thinking about, well, I probably wouldn't say think about, but, you know what I'm saying? I probably would have still kept that party thing going. But it just wouldn't have, it would have been secondary and not primary. So yeah, that's my trigger. I am my trigger.
Well, my trigger, I'm not going to say her name. I'm just going to just give you a little backstory to understand where I'm from. Me and this person, we grew up together. And she got teased a lot growing up because of her weight. When it came to me and her, people played favoritism between us. And I didn't think that that was cool because, you know what I'm saying, I loved her very dearly. So I always tried to, like, you know, try to say, like, you know, like I would try to, like, bring it back, like, okay, don't play favoritism. That's not fair. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to do this for me, you got to do it for her too. I would always try to do that. But as we grew up, you know, I always noticed that she had entitlement issues when it came to us. Like, you know, she would take advantage of my kindness. And I noticed that when I wouldn't be kind anymore, when I would get irritated, like, okay, well, what do you want from me? Because it seems like what I'm doing for you is not good enough. And I would take my, you know, my kindness away. She wouldn't fuck with me. And I had to move away. I really had to move away just so I could stop saying yes to this person. And I wouldn't even say that I'm not even at a point of, I'm not at a point of not wanting to see her. I'm at a point of not even caring anymore. Because, like I said, I went back home this past weekend, took pictures and everything and posted it, and word got back to her, and she decided to block me. So I'm just, like, you know, I'm not going to lie and say that it didn't hurt, because it did. Like I said, I loved her dearly. But I'm at a point where I can't keep loving you the way I used to, where I make your problems my problems, where I go broke for you, because you have shown me that you only love me as far as you can use me. And you never want to look at the world that way, but you have to. You have to look at that world, the world that way, to realize even your own family will fucking hate you. You never want to think, like, no, we're family. We're supposed to come together in bad times, but your family will really show you that they don't give a fuck about you. So it's a trigger. I can't be around her. I don't want to be around her. I honestly don't care if we ever talk again. I know that sounds very heartless, but the things that I've went through, the things that I've done, you know what I'm saying, for this person, she feels entitled. And I'm just at a point where if she ever calls, my line is always going to be open. I have too much of a big heart. But like I said, I'm not going to go broke for you, and I'm not going to love you the way I used to, you know what I'm saying, just to get you to love me, because it was never good enough. So that's my standpoint on it.
Yeah. No, I feel you. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, sometimes you have to match that entitlement in order to balance it out. You know what I'm saying? You can't always be submissive to someone's entitlement.
Yep, reciprocate what they give you. I'm sorry. You know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. But, yeah, so that wasn't that bad. See, look, you got through it. So,
what you mean?
The advice segment. Because, you know, you say, ooh, shit, you did it.
Man, you know that's always my intro to these damn stimulate your mind questions.
I guess. So,
that's just how
advice,
I roll.
The advice segment. The question is, and this is from a guy, how do you stop procrastinating and start taking initiative towards achieving your goals? DC, you want to tackle that first?
I mean, honestly, I feel like it's simple but complicated at the same time. My response would be just to fucking take the first step. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like the procrastination thing is just the fear of getting it going and not knowing where it's going to go. You know what I'm saying? You have to have a plan. You know what I'm saying? Have a plan of everything, you know what I'm saying? From A to Z, you know what I'm saying? And have alternatives to go along with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, procrastinating will kick you in the nuts or in the vagina, whichever one you got. But some people got both. But like, you know, because the last thing you want to do is to sit back on your dreams and your ambitions to miss the opportunity to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because like once you're thinking about doing something, you are in your prime to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't lose time and faith on worrying about the what ifs. You know what I'm saying? Just do that shit.
Yeah,
because you never know where it's gonna take you. Because like for me, for example, like I sat there and I procrastinated on this clothing brand for 2 years before I actually launched it. You know what I'm saying? But it was just the whole, you know, just kind of just living the pleasures of life that I had in front of me at the given time. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Mm-hmm.
Going out and partying and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? That was my go-to. That was my definition of living life. You know what I'm saying? That was the standard that I set for myself. You know what I'm saying? But if I was able to set the standards higher for myself back then, that clothing brand would have been out a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? I would have been in more full production a long time ago. But we wrap ourselves around things that are more easier to grasp.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which causes the procrastination of reaching for something that's, you know, that's a little bit higher on the shelf. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Have the thought process of like, okay, it's up like two shelves high. Okay, what do I need to get? Okay, I need to get a step ladder. You know what I'm saying? Maybe probably two or three step ladder. You know what I'm saying? So that way I can kind of like be able to get up there and, you know, have the agility to reach a little bit further. You know what I'm saying? Like, You gotta think that way. You gotta put on your thinking cap, how they say it back in elementary school. Put on your thinking cap and think. You know what I'm saying? Like don't degrade yourself. You know what I'm saying? Just be motivated. You know what I'm saying? Speak that shit into existence. You know what I'm saying? Whatever goals you're trying to reach, speak that into existence. You know what I'm saying? And you know, just stay motivated and, you know, try to detoxify yourself from you know, hobbies or activities that you're doing right now that you go to run away from thinking about your goals. You know what I'm saying? Because as long as you got those in your life, you ain't gonna never really sit down and really, you know, write out a blueprint of what you're supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? So my advice is to, you know what I'm saying, like I said, get away from either that person, that place or thing, and put your mind on whatever it is that you're trying to reach for. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, as long as those things are there, you know what I'm saying? Like you're going to continue to run away from your hopes and dreams and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my take on it is I feel like the procrastination comes into play when you make the first step and you fail, or when you start to learn about the process that it's going to take to get to your goals, instead of looking at one step at a time, we tend to look at the whole process, and that's where we get overwhelmed at. I think that if you look at it, like I said, I wanted to start a podcast. I wanted to open up my own agency, but I said that's too much. That's too big of a step. So what can I do now? Podcast is a little bit a less baby step than that. You know what I'm saying? That's going to come into play. So if you baby step yourself, you know what I'm saying, you can see it may not be the change that you want overnight, but you'll see, like, you know, progress as you go along and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm procrastinating writing my second book, Out of Darkness. But I do type. Whenever I have free time, I type. And I may not be where I want to be, but I look up and I see, like, okay, I'm two chapters in. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something. But, you know, procrastination can get the best of you. You just have to, first, I would say, be your own. Find your own way to pour into yourself if you don't have anybody around you to help pour into you. Because, you know, whenever rejection comes, that's when we think back to, like, something that someone said, like, oh, damn, they was right. They said this wasn't going to work. You know what? Fuck it. I'm done. No, you have to find a way to pour into yourself so that you can get past that rejection. Because honestly, it's what helps us to appreciate the hard work that we put into it. It's what helps us to, you know, appreciate it. So, you know, like, just be your own motivation. If you got to make, like, a little schedule, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to work towards one goal, write a vision board. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't do a vision board of all your vision, but if you got goals, just, okay, make a vision board of how you're going to complete the first step. You know, like, really baby step yourself and everything. But that's my take on it. And that's the end of our episode. Do you see? This was a crazy week. But I'm going to revive.
Man.
I'm going to revive.
And God we trust. Man.
My heart is still beating. So that's why I sound like I'm all over the place tonight, y'all. I truly apologize. If y'all don't know what the hell happened, well, listen, y'all don't know what goes on in the background to make these shows, okay? To create an episode, it was hectic. My heart is
That's all we're going to say about that one. We had some technical difficulties, but we bounced back.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Yes, man. So, I hope we answered your question. Thank you for tuning in, y'all. Peace and love. We out.
Deuces.